we could be in an attitude of prayer. Eternal God, quiet within us all mortal voices, that through the story of the Passion and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today's reading comes from Luke 19, 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." The word of the Lord for the people, the word of God for the people of God.
Powerful message. There's so much to preach out of that. So many metaphors to follow. The stone, the palm, the very word Hosanna. So much to say. We all know this is Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday officially marks the end of Lent and officially kicks off Holy Week. And with that, if we were doing the lectionaries readings, following it 100%, I try to do them in the high season, you realize that this is, we have two sets of scriptures, the palm readings and the passion readings. So as pastors, we have the challenge of keeping the tension of those two things together. We enter it in, you know, in the tension of holding the whole thing together, because we have to tell us that, you know, that in the before he starts this journey, we like to call the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We also know that this is a one-way ticket. This is a one-way journey he's on. It's not coming. They're singing the praises of Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of David, save us. We know that they're in a time of Roman occupation and been expecting this Messiah, this Savior, to come and save them. And we have the tension to that, because we know these same people who are saying praises and cheers to the Hosanna, the Messiah who's coming in, and the same people will 5 days later say, "Crucify him." So we live into the tension of those things. And yes, that story needs to be preached. It needs to be preached. But today I'm going to pick out one of those metaphors, one of the words in the couple of words in that message that Press read so eloquently, the donkey. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the donkey. And I liked when he read it, he said, "The Lord, say to them, the Lord needs you." He paused. He didn't know I was going to talk about that. But when you, I want you to listen, when it's to the Lord, say to them that the Lord needs you. Hear it as God is saying, God, not needs it, but needs you. That needs you. Yes, that's, that story needs to be preached. But I'm going to have a little video to help us preach that story a little bit more. Because I'm going to stick with the donkey and the Lord needs it. Go for it.
Two 2,000 years ago, the world saw the original Palm Sunday. On that Palm Sunday, the Lord of heaven and earth entered Jerusalem on a baby donkey. He didn't come to us with power and magnificence, but with meekness and gentleness. On that Palm Sunday, those who sang Hosanna would 5 days later shout, "Crucify him." On that Palm Sunday, Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem, where he would endure the most painful and humiliating kind of death, the kind of death that would save the world. Palm Sunday is a reminder of who Jesus is and who we should be as we follow him. Palm Sunday reminds us that the way of Jesus is the way of the donkey, the way of humility, the way of gentleness. Palm Sunday reminds us that it's totally possible to be with Jesus on Sunday, but forsake him on Friday. And Palm Sunday reminds us that Friday is coming.
Yes, that sermon needs to be preached. Behold, the King is coming, gentle and mounted on a donkey. We know that Jesus approaches Jerusalem knowing that it was his final entrance into this city. Knowing what awaits him, a donkey is the amount that he chooses to bring him into the holy city. See, part of that symbolism is surely the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, and on a colt of a donkey." Excuse me, I'm not feeling so good this morning, so I need my backup. That's in case I have to sit down. But you know, you're coming on a donkey. That's what Zechariah says. But I want to pause a little bit for our parentheses. One of the, incidentally, but it's very important to, when you hear that scripture from Zechariah, did you get that? Did you get the genesis of it? Jesus is riding on a donkey, on a colt, and the foal of a donkey. Jesus is not riding on a mule, but a donkey. In Hebrew history, when the heir to the king is designated, he set the king on the king's mules. Solomon, we know the story in Numbers, Solomon sitting on the king's mule. But in Jesus' day, unless the mules were considered a strong symbol of greatness, but the mule was not some foal of the donkey. The mule was the foal of a mare. So Jesus was not riding on some hybrid king kind of donkey, mule. He was riding on the most absolutely lowest workaday creature on earth, a full-bred donkey. So why does Jesus choose to a lowly creature to bring him triumphantly into Jerusalem? Jerusalem. Donkeys are part of Jesus's heritage. If you remember, a donkey who took Mary to Bethlehem, where he was born. A donkey stood manger side at the stable. A donkey spirited him and his family away from Egypt to keep Jesus from being beheaded by Herod. Jesus' hometown, his very hometown, Nazareth, is right at the border between the lands that has been given to the tribe of Issachar and the tribe of Zebulun. Each of these tribes, you know, that has their own animals to represent them. And the Issachar tribe, which is the tribe of the scholars that I've talked to you about before, and who was renowned for knowing the times and telling us what to do, was represented by a donkey. Now, a donkey, a symbol of both Solomon's journey of kingship and Zechariah's prophetic prediction, carries Jesus into the holy city of Jerusalem. The animal that ties the birth and death of Jesus together is a donkey. The scripture that's read says, go into the village ahead of you. Do you notice that Jesus is always ahead of you? We're constantly playing catch up, you might say. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there. No one has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you're untying it, say, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs you. Friends, I'm telling you, I'm convinced if this was the 21st century.
You know,
if this was a 21st century story, we would be calling a carjacking. But what we have here is a colt jacket. I don't know if you ever watched the movie, Nicolas Cage movie, Gone 60 Seconds. You know, the Cage gave his crew specific instructions to go to location and steal specific cars. Well, Jesus is giving his crew a specific instructions to a specific location to colt jack specific cars. One. For different reasons, absolutely, different reasons. One that has never been written. I'm telling you, Jesus is not into used car business. But now in the tradition, Jewish tradition, the phrase, the Messiah donkey, refers to a donkey upon which the Messiah will redeem the world to the end of days. The original of this belief is found in Zechariah 9:9, I just read to you. The great scholars of the Mishnah have always interpreted that the king in that prophecy refers to the Messiah. So the Messiah will become this donkey. The Messiah is coming on this donkey. Because what the Mishnah interprets that as being, the scholars of the Mishnah, the Torah, interprets that as being the Messiah, this king that's coming. But the phrase, the Messiah donkey, is used collectively. Even some of the Jewish traditions today refer to this humble, dirty work on behalf of someone else and who served the humble capacity. So when we say the Messiah's donkey, we understood to be talking about doing humble work for someone else. This Messiah donkey. Those who do the dirty jobs to serve. I know if you might remember the TV show, what's his name? Mike Rowe. And in one of his, it's called The Dirty Jobs. And one of his TED Talks, he said these statements. He believes that the blue collar workers doing the dirty jobs, the people who make life possible for most of us, the people who make, can I sit down? I'm so sorry. I need to get through this for my head. Thank you, my head is not right this morning. My apologies. Okay, so I back up. So in this TED Talk, he said he believes the blue collar workers, the people who make life possible for us, are unjustifiably degraded in society today and might be the most successful people. There was even a survey that was done that said the people that does the most dirty jobs are the happiest. We all have done dirty jobs. Have you? My first job, I'm calling it a dirty job, was actually working at Burger King. And I was working at the grill. Nobody wants to work at that steamy grill. Everybody wanted to work it as a cashier. I eventually got there, but I started in that dirty job. We have dirty jobs in our households. We take out the garbage. What about changing diapers? Now that's a dirty job, literally. We all have dirty jobs. But we have learned in the scripture that the dirty jobs, the ones nobody wants to do, the ones that are the most humble, the ones can be the one place where we find God most profoundly and powerfully. Where God reveals himself in his fullest is in those places. You know, there's a poem, 17th century poem by Henry Vaughan. It has quite a bit of stanzas, but the last two lines of it says, the poem is called The Revival. The last two lines of it says, "And here in the dust and dirt, oh, here the lilies of his love appear." Friends, if you want to experience the lilies of God's love, you have to get your hands dirty. I wonder if you realize that dirt is a good thing in the Bible. You know, the dirt is elevated. It is because we come from dirt. In Genesis 1, the macro account of creation, we are created in God's image. That's the divine DNA, you might say. But when we get to the second creation story in Genesis 2, the super status that we have from Genesis 1 is brought back down to earth. Where do we come from? We come from the dirt. The first metaphor in Genesis 2 is dirt. We find God playing in the dirt just to make us. God is there getting his hands dirty. Because when you mix water and dirt, you get mud. Can you imagine the first introduction that we have of God is him playing in mud? We have a strong pedigree as dust. Dust is our destiny, as we've experienced in Ash Wednesday, we were reminded rather. We come from dirt and we return to dirt. There is something very fundamental about our human dirtiness and dustiness. And when we hear the word dirty, we often think about it as something very negative, right? But in the Bible, it can have a very positive connotation about it. So let me ask you something. Who were some of the Messiah's donkeys in the Bible? Who were the ones that God chose to do the dirtiest jobs? Now remember, as I said, in the Bible, dirt has a positive, isn't always negative. Now, Jesus came down low and dirty to save humanity and from ourselves, didn't he? His mom, Mary, she too had a dirty job. I don't know if you realize it, some of Catholics might recognize this, but last Friday, March 25th, and every year on the 25th, it's the Feast of Annunciation. It is a time where it commemorates when the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary during that time and informed her that she would be the mother of Jesus, the Son of God, and that she was a favored one. I suspect that when she heard those words, "You're going to be favored by God," I suspect she didn't feel that favored. Because I suspect in her home, she was always, as being a woman and a teenager, as a matter of fact, she was not seen. Was it seen and not heard? She didn't have a voice. We know how the first century folks dealt with women at that time. I cannot imagine her feeling favored by anyone else. But here comes this message from God, from the angels saying that she will be favored. She will be favored because God is with her. That's what Gabriel said. But what kind of favor is this that was bestowed on her? Mary learned what it means to be a Messiah's donkey. And here's the dirty job that she went through. In the actual moment, this teenager became the Messiah's donkey. Luke writes in 1, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God.'" In that moment, this teenage person is become the Messiah's donkey. And here's the key, if we continue reading. In her response, she answered to Gabriel, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departs her. Friends, when you say yes to God, "I need you," you become the Messiah's donkey. Oh, I want to be the Messiah's donkey. You know that's coming. Oh, I want to be the bummer lamb. I want to be the Messiah's donkey. You know, we find this pregnant. Oh, this is so hard to do sitting up. I can't do this like that. So I'm going to hold up. You see me falling, come running, press. Can you imagine that? This woman, this is a teenager. Teenager who was trying to figure what it means like to be favored by God. And when the Spirit of the Lord come up on her, she, this woman out of wedlock, that's the dirty job she has in front of her. This teenager who was going to be scorned, who's going to be despised because she's obedient. Her spirit was, "Here I am. Let it be as you said. I'm the servant of God." And sometimes what was favored and preferred by God is a disgrace. You end up being disgraced, you end up being scorned. But here's the good news. Here's the grace in it. God can use any one of us to be his Messiah donkey. The call is, when God say, "I need you," your response should be yes. No matter how low the job is, no matter how dirty it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, Mary didn't come with excuses. She could have said no. You realize she could have said no, but she didn't. How many times we have said no? I know I've said no to God. I pay for it dearly, but I've said no. Because God meets us in our humanness. And by the grace of God, he keeps coming back and say, "I need you." Because in the beginning of time, God is always partnering with humanity. He's partnering with us to come into our business. You hear me say that over and more. I say, "I need you. This thing is happening over here. I need you." That was the instruction to this donkey. And we are the Messiah donkey. We should be having the spirit that said, "Yes, here I am." You know, Mary comes from a whole line of distinguished people who have said, "Here I am," to the great I am. We have the Abraham, we have Joshua, we have Moses, we have Peter, Paul, and John. We have John, because I remember in Dream Team, John said, "Here I am, just use me. That's all I want to do." All of us should have that spirit here I am. So we can too can be the Messiah's donkey. What about the shepherds? They were considered the unclean in Jewish code. They smell and they were not trusted because they were known for telling stories. They never know if they're telling the truth or not. But these are the people who God chose to appear to first. What about when Jesus washes his disciples' feet? It was the dirtiest job in the culture of his day. This was the first time in recorded history a rabbi kneels down and gets his hands dirty. And you can't wash somebody's feet without getting your hands dirty and wet. God went down through his son Jesus Christ and washed his feet, gets his hands dirty, showing us what it means when God says, I need you. And what it means when we say, yes. And then Jesus challenges disciples to go forth and serve others in a similar fashion. He summoned us to live a life of humility and service where the job is not too low for us, not too dirty for any of us to do. By that, I mean not necessarily physically dirty, because in the eyes of the culture, what seems to be a position of what we do and what seems to be dirty is not in the same as Jesus Christ does. And that's part of our challenge. In fact, part of how we measure our holiness this day for Jesus is the degree in which we say, create in me a clean heart and put God and put a right spirit in me. That is a measure of a clean heart, is a dirty hand. You know, I'm agreeing with my mentor, Len Sweet, who says he believes that when you get to the pearly gates, we're going to be asked, show me your hands. Those who have clean hands, you will say, this is not the place for you. Those who have the dirty hands, the hands of the Messiah's donkey, come on in. Those who have said yes to God, to God's I need you, are willing to get their hands dirty. We hear in Matthew 20, 28, he says, to be a servant just like the Son of God, who did not come to be served, but to serve. My brothers and sisters, here's the dirtiest job in history. That God the Father says to his Son, Jesus, Son, go down to the planet Earth that I created. Go down and for the next 33 years, go hang out with them. Be with them. Leave your disposition of performance and privilege and go down there. Go. And be one of them. I want you to give it all up. God gets down and dirty to be with us. Here is the good news of this Palm Sunday. Jesus becomes the father of donkeys, and his followers gets to be the Messiah donkeys. That's you and I get this opportunity. You know what I say? Get to. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve the Lord as his Messiah donkey. We get to do it. Paul, I think, has one of the greatest description of a dirty job of the incarnation, where he gets down, where God gets down and dirty. Frankly, I don't think you can find a better definition of the incarnation than this, what we'll find in Philippians 2, 6 to 9. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking up the very nature of a servant, being made in humankind, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. I'm telling you, that's the dirtiest form of death imaginable. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall acknowledge, some translations say confess, that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, I want to be a bummer, a Messiah donkey. That sermon's still in my head. If you haven't learned, listen to it. Go listen to it. I want, when God calls me and said, Debbie, come, I say yes. I want to be like Mary and don't give any excuses. I just want to go and say, Lord, use me for your glory. Here I am. When God calls and summons us and summons us with his saying, I need you, will you go and be the Messiah's donkey? Will you say yes? Will you do the servant of the work of a Messiah, the dirty jobs in this kingdom? I want to be a Messiah's donkey. Will you be the Messiah's donkey? Will you do the work of God in this kingdom, the dirty work? You know, to follow Jesus is not to ride into town in a stallion of success and glory, but to be continually looking up in Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who by the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. This is what the Hebrews writer of Hebrews says, 12:2. But did you hear the clause? Despise the shame. Like the donkey, there's no job too low, too dirty when it comes to you saying, I need you. I need you. Friends, this story is your story and my story. This story of the donkey is our story. It has, we have a donkey heritage, a heritage of service, humility, stubbornness, smartness, and single-mindedness. Keep looking to Jesus, my friends. The way to Jesus is the way of the donkey, the way of humility, gentleness, loyalty, faithfulness. Will you be the Messiah's donkey? The Lord needs you. Happy Palm Sunday. Hosanna in the highest is the highest. Amen.